God, thank you for this day. And God, I pray right now for Mary Gear's dad. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray healing upon that heart, healing upon his body. God, in the hospital in Florida, God, we know life throws us some crazy curveballs, and his intent was vacation, and now there's heart issues and problems and everything, but God, he's in your hands. And so I pray the peace that passes understanding, I pray healing in Jesus' name, and I pray strength over Mary right now. God, I pray that in Jesus' name. God, I know today is ordained, orchestrated. You're not an accidental God. You're a God that has a purpose, a point. And God, you've brought us here for such a time as right now. I pray that the truth of who you are, the truth of your word would be real to us today. God, I pray that your words would change the lives, the trajectory of the way we're headed. Because God, my words don't do a thing, but your words, your truth changes us. And God, I pray that out of John 17, that the truth of who you are would radically change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know how you were raised. Some of you were raised different denominations. Some of you weren't raised in church, which, good for you. Some of you, you're Catholic. Where are my Catholic folks? Yes. Where's my Baptist? Yeah, oh, look at you guys. You'll be out before noon, please. Just kidding. Where's my Methodist? Any Methodist? Lutherans? Non-denoms? Non-denoms. They were just... We don't want to be like anybody else, you know. There's a guy, I was raised, my dad was Baptist, my mom was Methodist, and about fourth grade we started going to an Assembly God church, so I got all kinds of different things, you know, from who eats what and how long services are and all that kind of stuff. But there's a guy named Gordon Melton, and he's a Methodist guy, but his hobby, I would call it a hobby, his hobby is to find the different denominations in the United States, and that there's over 1,200 denominations, between 70 and 80 just Baptist, which screams a lot of things, not just to the Baptist, but to churches in general, that there's 1,200 denominations in the United States of America. Here's a couple. These are actual 501c3s. I'm just throwing this out there. One of them is the Church of the Kennedy Worshippers, where they actually pray to JFK. Taking that documentary to a whole nother level, right? The Church of Ministry of Universal Wisdom, which is people looking for flying saucers. So, anyway. The Church of What's Happening Now, which is obviously a little more contemporary church. Here's my point. My point is, what does it mean to you to belong? Not fitting in, because as I'll show you in a second, fitting in is different than belonging. John 17, there's a couple different passages where Jesus actually uses the word belong. Verse 9, he says, my prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. A couple verses later, he says, the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is the truth. Humans are biologically, physically, spiritually, three things. We want to belong, we're wired to love, and we're wired to be loved. All three of those things. We want to belong, we want to love, and we want to be loved. Belonging doesn't, it's not as easy as it sounds, though. It's actually incredibly hard work to belong. Belonging is not the same as simply showing up, signing up, crossing an aisle. It's totally different. Transferring membership, renewing a subscription, totally different. Belonging defined is the innate human desire to be a part of something larger than us. That is what is inside every single one of us. This desire to be a part of something larger than us. Because yearning is so primal, we often try to acquire it by fitting in and seeking approval. It's not the same. But it's the mistake that you and I sometimes make in the effort to belong. We try to fit in. And this is what fitting in does. Fitting in makes us copy the customs and behavior of the people we're trying to fit in with. That's not, this is who I am. You accept me. Fitting in says, this is who I am. I'm trying to be like you. It's a big difference. May we never be the church that says, come join us. Come be like us. Come speak like us. Come talk like us. Come wear the same Nikes as us. Come drink the same Kool-Aid as us. May we never be that. And before you start thinking, well, that's a cult thing that happened over there and that happened in Waco, you and I, naturally, because we have a heart to belong, we try to fit in. And it gets disguised. If I get to be me, I belong. If I have to be like you, I fit in. Okay? Around 50 AD, there's a new Jesus movement that happened, and it happened because of a man named Paul. And Paul had a radical conversion to Jesus Christ. And because where Paul lived, his unique nature was that he wanted to reach the Gentiles. But in reaching the Gentiles, he didn't want them to just become Jewish. He wanted them to follow Jesus. And there's a big difference. A lot of times we try to get people to follow what we're doing and not follow Jesus. And these are the seven books that Paul wrote. These are the different things that he's talking about. Because when we read the Bible, we see one end of the story. We see Paul's response to the letters of the churches. And the letters of the churches usually started with, Paul, we need your advice on this. Paul, we need help with this. Paul, there's conflict here. And so Paul would write his responses to what? People longing to belong. So you read 1 Corinthians 1. He's now in Rome at the time. He's writing to the Corinthian church. And this is what he says. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. This is his response. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members, he calls her out, of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels. He says, hey, listen, Chloe, she's gossiping, all right? I don't know who Chloe is, but he called out the whole household. Told me about your quarrels. Some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I'm a follower of Apollos. I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. Has Christ been divided into factions? This is his question. Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. What is happening in the early church? Paul's saying to the Corinthian church, listen, you guys are following man. Because what happens when you and I follow man? We're saying we want to fit in. And the goal is never for you to follow a man. It's for you to follow Jesus. Listen, I understand there has to be leaders and there has to be bosses and there has to be people that take the charge. I understand what Ephesians talks about when it talks about pastors and apostles and teachers. There has to be those. But if I ever get confused with Jesus, if my word ever becomes louder than what Jesus said, if my face ever gets on a billboard, shame on us. Shame on us. Because we're making it about something it should never be about. Listen, I don't think I'm that handsome that anybody. And Paul's discussing this. And he's saying, hey, technology has changed. You now have different methods of communication. But the reality hasn't changed that people still long to belong. People are still longing. People are still to this day are following men and not Jesus. And Paul dealt with it then, and we're dealing with it still today. We are. He's saying, listen, I didn't die. I didn't die for you. I baptized you in the name of Paul. You're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to belong, but I think we settle for fitting in. In fact, I would even say, there's many things that we settle. We settle. We settle for subpar. We don't settle for the best. We don't settle for what's right. We settle. We sometimes make too quick of decisions. But Paul is, He's blown away by their response. He's blown away by what's happening to him. He's saying things like this. I wasn't crucified. I didn't baptize you in my name. He's blown away by what's happening. And he says, basically, this is what it's based on. It's based on Jesus Christ and that only. And listen, Life Community Church, it has to be based on Jesus Christ and that only. What did Jesus say? What is it that Jesus portrayed to us? What is it, the words that he said to us? There's a woman by the name of Brené Brown. She's an author. She does a lot of TED Talks. And I encourage you to listen to some of her leadership TED Talks. But this is her quote. She says, "The special courage to truly belong today is about breaking down the walls. It's about abandoning our ideological bunkers and living from our wild heart rather than our weary hurt. We're going to need to intentionally be with people who are different than us. We're going to have to learn how to listen, how to have hard conversations, how to look for joy, how to share pain, and be more curious than defensive. All while seeking moments of togetherness. If the church and its call and its mission, a big part of it has to be that we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to some, foolishness to others, but because our truest identity is found in Jesus Christ, that I bring all of myself under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And what he does when I bring myself is make something beautiful that cannot be copied. It cannot be duplicated. It cannot be something that we pattern our lives after. It has to be Jesus and Jesus only. Or we're missing it. Or all we're doing is making cheap imitations. And it's not the point. So now let's read John 17, verse 20. Jesus said this, "I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message." This prayer is for us right now. In fact, John 17 is broke down into three different sections. 1 through 5 is Jesus's prayer. Six through 20 is Jesus' prayer for the 11 that are there. And verse 20 through 26 is for us, you and I who are hearing this today. Verse 21, "I pray that they will all be one." Who's they? It's you, you and me. "I pray that they all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I've given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them." What would you pray the night before you died? I mean, honestly, what would your prayer be? The night before you knew you were going to die, what would your prayer be? Because Jesus' prayer was that you and I would be one. Jesus understood that amongst the 11, there was tensions. That Matthew was this government servant and Peter the zealot, who was also one of the 11, wanted to kill people like Matthew. So his prayer was not just first and foremost for us. It was these 11 men. That what happens when I leave the earth is on these 11 men's shoulders. And these 11 men have to be one. Because if they're not one and they start murdering one another, if they start being divided, then the gospel never goes out. And so he says, first and foremost, I pray these 11, the tensions that they have, that they will be one. And you and I, we sit in Columbia, Illinois. In 2018, because 11 men put aside their selfish desires and said, we have one cause, and that cause is Jesus. And because they did that, you and I sit here today. 11 men. There's more than 11 in this room. And you and I think that we can't handle what it is that God has put in front of us. If 11 could do what they did, why could we not do what we are called to do? It's not an issue of a call. It's an issue of whether I understand that I belong and understand that by belonging, I'm united to something greater and that there's moments in my life where I have to look another brother or sister in the face and say, you are better than me and you play a role in what's happening now and this is my role. You want to know why RFK works? Because everyone had a role and everyone did their role and people came along and they sharpened one another. And as they're sharpening one another, they were encouraging and they were helping and they were doing all these things, but every single person had a part. When we don't understand that we have a part, then we start copying. Then we start trying to be like so-and-so. It's not your job. For whatever reason, humans, and it's only humans, when we're left to do what we want to do, we usually copy other people. It's not our call. Our call is to belong, and when I understand belonging, then I'll understand unity. I'll have no problem submitting. I'll have no problem looking to someone and say, this is you right here. I can't do this. You're patient. I'm impatient. I need your patience right now. And I need your patience to be a strength to me right now. I need your patience to be an encouragement to me right now. The other thing that I need us to see is that when Jesus prayed for unity, he prayed that we might receive it. Jesus wouldn't have urged the disciples to be one. Rather, he looked to the Father and said, grant them the gift of unity. It's not a magic potion. Unity is a gift that you and I get to be a part of. It's not a magic potion. It's not something we could sprinkle on one another. It is a gift. And like all gifts, we must take care of that gift. So the first thing that Paul says to the Corinthian church is, you make every effort to do what? Live in harmony with one another. Do you know what that means? That means sometimes I don't need to share my opinion. That means sometimes I don't have to say anything at all. That means sometimes I don't have to look at somebody else and say, you're wrong and I'm right. Because what does that do? It confuses the harmony. It messes up the harmony. He says, this gift is a gift of unity that I'm giving to you as the church. And this is how the church, this is how the world will know that Jesus was sent. By the way we love one another, but the only way we can love one another is if we're unified. I don't typically love competition. If we make one another competition, then how can we love one another? If I'm jealous of you, can I love you? If I'm envious of you, can I love you? Can I love you if I see something special in you? If I see God's plan in you, can I throw down my manly pride and say to another man, you have a gift and you need to move forward in that gift? And even if that means that that gift is me putting down my pride and saying, you excel and my job is to help you excel in that gift. Can we do that? It's the question Jesus is asking. Because the impact of the unified church is so that the world believes that God the Father sent the Son, that they may believe that you sent me. And Jesus said, and by this all men will know what? By this all men will know that you are my disciples if what? If you love one another. Can we agree today that we live in a world of disunity? Can we agree that there are a lot of people fighting? In our world, in our politics, in our community, and that the world is longing for unity, and that you and I, by the way that we love, get to show them that unity is possible. See, to me, this is the greatest opportunity. The greatest opportunity in front of us is we get to show the world that this is possible. Life Community Church, how are we doing? Let me ask this. as a church, not as an individual, what do we want to be known as? Understand that you might answer this question in various ways, but when people say in our community, Life Community Church, what do you want them to say about us? And I guess I would follow that question up, is this yours, is it ours, or is it mine? And that's a very important question, because if it's yours and mine, then we're never going to accomplish anything, but if it's ours, we're going to accomplish something. If I'm always pointing fingers as somebody else can do it, somebody else is more qualified or somebody else is more talented or more skilled, then I'm never going to do anything. I'm just going to be the guy that's always pointing fingers. In that case, we need to start a ministry out front for people parking people. You can point away, which is okay too. What do we want to be known as? When people say, I go, or I drive by, or I've heard of Life Community Church, what do we want to be known as? How do we want to be perceived? Are we owners of what God is doing, or is it somebody else's? I guess I follow this up with, when we see a problem, what do I do with the problem? Am I a solution person? Am I carrying a can of gas or am I carrying a gas of water? Because the Bible says this about quarrels. The Bible says this about fights, which is what Paul's talking about gossip. As you put fire to a wood, so it is with gossip. You put gossip away, quarrels go away. What is gossip? Gossip is someone talking about something that they really don't know anything about. And he's saying, quarrels go away when you start talking about things that you know about. And if I'm in the Word and I'm belonging to what God is doing and I'm seeking what God is doing in my life, then guess what? I'm only proclaiming things that I know about that God showed me. And God's going to give me things that He showed me, and that is truth. And because that's truth, now I'm not gossiping. But when do we gossip? We gossip when we're trying to fit in and not belong. That's when we gossip. And he said, this is what gossip brings. Gossip brings quarrels. What did he say in 1 Corinthians? There are quarrels among you, which tells you what? Well, Chloe's household is doing this. She's saying that they follow Apollos. Listen, we're no different, you guys. We are no different. We cling to people that we have things in common with. We don't go to people that are different than us. We go to people where we have same interests, same desires, and we count that as unity. You guys, that is not unity. That's similarities, and there's a big difference. It's like this box of crayons. In this box of crayons, there's different colors. Some of them have been wounded, used more. Older, popular. If I break this crayon and I put it back in it, you don't know that this crayon is broken in this box. You look at it, you don't know it's broken. You know why you don't know it's broken? Because everyone around it is holding it up. You don't know it's broken. When you're in this box, people don't see color. They don't seem worn out. They see one box. And this is what the church, this is what the world is supposed to see. And that when we come out, we might be a spot of color. We might be a little worn. I picked this one from the resource room. I stole it. And I found it interesting that this says 24, but there's only 22 in here. Help the point even more. This box is not complete when two are missing. It's incomplete. And as easy as it is to discount us, to say I'm not worth anything, can I say you matter? Can I say you belong? Do you say why I put that all on the rugs everywhere we go? Because I want people to understand that they belong. Not that they fit in. I want them to see that they belong. And because they belong, they matter. And because they matter, they fit. And because they fit, they have an identity. And because they have an identity, it's in Jesus. It's not on us. It's not on Life Community Church. It's built on Jesus. And when it's built on Jesus, they fit in here. They fit in here. Now you don't even know which one's broken. Why? Because everybody else are doing their part. And that's the point. And it takes all of us. And this is why Jesus prayed what he prayed. So using the word unity, I'll give you quick points. First and foremost, the prescription for unity, first and foremost, is to uplift. Over and over in the gospel, specifically what Paul was saying, he said, here's the prescription for unity. Be an encourager. Be a person that when you speak, and Deuteronomy says there's power in the tongue, life and death in the tongue. And then he says, power in the tongue. You know why he has to tell us to choose life? Because you and I are ignorant at times. There's power in the tongue, life and death. And we are going, which one should we choose? And he says, choose life, you know. Because we're actually weighing this out. Like, I don't know which one to choose, life or death. Do you know it's difficult to lift people up? You know how difficult it is to lift people up? Pat, come here. Stand right here. Turn around, face him. It's difficult to lift Pat up. Oh my gosh, seriously, you're like, put all your weight in your feet. It's difficult. I got a hernia. Come here. Stand up here. It's super easy to lift. It's super difficult to lift him up, but it's super easy to knock him down. It's no different in our words. It's super easy to tear him down. It's super easy to call them out. It's super easy to be unloving. It's super easy just to, what am I doing? Out of insecurity, out of trying to fit in, trying to knock him down, I'm trying to feel better about myself. It's difficult to lift him up. Very difficult to lift him up. It's very difficult. Pat, God's got a plan, man. Pat, the way you served this past week, man, is incredible. The way you loved on these kids, man, Pat, this was you, man. You were called to do that. What is that doing? It's taking all attention off me and putting it on somebody else. And Paul's saying, you want unity? Stop putting all the attention on you and put it on someone else. And when you put it on someone else, watch. Watch what happens. Watch how they start shining. Watch how they start loving. Watch how they start moving in their call. And all this is based around one thing, need. You and I have to see a need around us. If we are so complacent in our comfortable little houses, our safe little community, where we don't even have to lock doors, we don't have to worry about anything that's happening, we're safe, we'll never see the need around us. That's why her comment of what she said is we have to be intentional to go to places that are different than us. Different than us. There's something happening amongst churches where they're actually coming together and they're realizing we play a bigger part. And one of the things that are happening when we come together is we're not just going to be churches that have people come to us, but we're actually going to be churches that go together and go to other places. What a concept, huh? Churches joining together. Not caring about where we worship on Sunday. Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Stay there. But now we're coming together and we're doing things in our communities, in our region, in our state, in the United States together. It's going to happen. It's happening behind the scenes where things like this are coming together. What is it? It's built around a need. There's a need. And we either can ignore it and say that's somebody else's job, or we could be the people that rise up and say, we're going to meet that need. United people rise up. Divided people stay away. We're either going to see the need or we're not. Integrity. Jesus says, I have given them glory. Glory calls attention to holiness and purity. The only reason you and I see a need is become men and women of character. That's the only way. This is a mandate as a church to be called to purity and holiness. It's about looking at the next generation and saying, don't make the same mistakes that we did and admit that we made mistakes. It's not looking at the next generation going, you're worthless. What are you doing? You're the social media generation. Instead, you're looking at them and you're saying, no, we missed it. We messed up. We need you to pick up the pieces. You're saying to the generation, what one generation has allowed, the next generation is now enjoying. You're saying to the generation before you, we missed the mark. We need you to work with us. Who does that? People of integrity, men and women of character. They don't throw away the next generation. They look at the next generation and say, we need you. Millennials, we need you. And without integrity, we can't trust. Let me ask you this. Can our community trust Life Community Church? What does that mean? Can they believe what we say? Can they believe what we sang? Can they believe what we prayed? Can they believe what we committed to? Can they believe what they are seeing? Can they believe what they're hearing? Or is it just a statement? Can we be trusted? This is not, can I be trusted? Can we be trusted with our resources, with our finances, with our building that God gave us? Can we be trusted? Can we steward properly? Can we do those things? Trust is a huge area for us to focus on, because Jesus is calling us as men and women to be trusted in our community. And the only way that I can be trusted is to be a man of integrity. You know how we can be trusted? Again, don't just put on a week-long foster camp. Be in the foster system 365 days out of the year. And some of you, you're saying right now, I can be trusted. And what God is challenging you with is going through the hard things of becoming a foster parent then. I can guarantee you this. You go to RFK, you will want to be a foster parent. And I'm not saying every person in this room has to be a foster parent, but some of you in this room, you're called to be a foster parent. It goes beyond Monday through Friday event. Can you be trusted with that? And I love what someone said on Friday. Don't make an emotional decision right now. Walk away. Walk away before you commit. And then you ask the Lord, Lord, can I be trusted? Because a united church can be trusted. Last thing would be yield. Why yield? Because you and I, before I ever yield to one another, we have to yield to Jesus first. If I yield to one another and then I yield to Jesus, I'm missing the point. If you yield to your spouse or submit to your spouse before you submit to Jesus, I'm just telling you, things will go wrong. If you're putting your spouse before you're putting Jesus, there will not be unity. There will be us trying to fit in. We're missing the point. It has to be us yielding to the lordship of Jesus Christ before we ever yield and submit to one another. It has to be. I don't want you coming to me and saying, Pastor, you put that plea on Sunday. I want to foster. I'm going to say, did Jesus ask you to foster? Because when it gets hard, I want you going to him, not to me. I don't want you to tithe because you heard Pastor Sean or myself talk about tithing. I want you to tithe because it's a biblical principle that I didn't institute. If you got a problem with tithing, talk to Jesus about it. I'm not the one blessing your finances. It's God that blesses them. I'm not doing it. Pressure off. Pressure off. It stopped me from looking at me and looking more at what Jesus is saying. Don't come to me and say, this is really difficult and I'm mad that you asked me to do it. And I said, you didn't do it because of me. You did it because what Jesus asked you to do. Listen, Jesus says, cast your worries upon me. You know what that means? That means there's moments in your life where God has called you to do something, and there's going to be moments in your life where you're like, God, I'm mad that you asked me to do it. I don't like that you asked me to do it. And what does he do? He reinforces the call of why he called you to do it. The problem is you and I yield to a man or yield to a woman, and we do that first, and it's long before we ever ask if Jesus is okay with it. And we're struggling with, see, a lot of us, we buy things to fit in, not because we're called to buy them. And then we ask Jesus for the bailout. Jesus, I need you to be in control of my finances. And Jesus goes, you yielded to fit in first, and now you're coming to me and you're wanting a bailout. I am not the United States government. Go to them for a bailout. We've gotten married. We've taken jobs. We submitted to authorities long before we ever asked Jesus. We've yielded to man way before we've ever yielded to Jesus. And then we come back and we say, Jesus, I need you to fix this. And Jesus goes, now you want me to be a part of this? Oh, I got you. You want me to be, got it. You knew you couldn't afford it. Now you want my opinion that you can't afford it? I got you. God, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. Not my principle. I didn't say test me in this. Jesus said test me in this. Test me. God Almighty said test me in this. I didn't say that. Okay? So the end of the year, anyway. Man, guys, put me on a soapbox. I apologize. Kind of. You and I have to yield to Jesus. That's the bottom line. We have to yield to Jesus. And you know what? I know when my life is not yielding to Jesus. I know when my life is not yielding to Jesus. I know this week when my life wasn't yielding to Jesus. I know when Jamie was trying to fix something. You know who else knew? A lot of kids. They knew it. That's why that song was stuck in my head all week. I'm just kidding. Lila hates when I sing it. Let's pray. Would you stand with me this morning? Can I ask you something? And honestly think about this before you answer it. I know the popular thing will be to lift a hand. And I'm not discouraging you from doing that. I'm just asking you to think about it. Do you as an individual want the gift of unity that Jesus prayed in John 17 in Life Community Church? If that's you in this room, could you just lift a hand? Do you want unity? I know that sounds funny. I know that. See, listen, I believe that God honors our commitment. God honors our stance. God honors when we take a stand on something. This is you just saying, okay, Jesus, you prayed for unity amongst the believers. I want unity. And that's super easy to say. But it has to be in Jesus and not, I got to fall in line. My identity has to be in Jesus and not in other things. I got to be a man and woman of integrity. I got to be a man that's yielding my life to the lordship of Jesus. I got to be a man that's not following a man, but is following the King of Kings. I have to yield to that. If you're in this place and you're like, I want unity in the body of Christ. I want to be a person that's a part of the solution, not part of the problem. You lift a hand. Say, yes, that's me. God, I thank you that the gift, the desire that you have in the body of Christ is that we're unified. God, I pray This is not about us. This is about making the name of Jesus famous in Monroe County, famous in the state of Illinois, famous in every home. This is about people coming to know Jesus, not coming to know Life Community Church, not coming to know Jamie Bridges, coming to know Jesus. And God, I pray for every man, every woman that will come to know you. God, I pray that they would constantly see you. I pray they would constantly submit to you. God, I pray that who they are, their whole selves, would constantly submit to what it is that you want to do on the earth. God, I pray for unity in the body, in the church of Jesus Christ, that we will never be the same again. And this is our prayer, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You just sing this with us real quick. Sing this.
You are good, good.